This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. I'm Sharad Kutin. And on the breakfast grill this morning, we have Yang Berhormat Datuk Teng Chang Kim. He's a senior member of the Selangor government and currently chairman for the Standing Committees for Investment, Industry and Commerce, SMEs and Transportation. We, of course, had announced just before the news that we might have brought on Suresh Sidhu, of CEO of E.co, because we weren't quite sure whether you were going to make it this morning on time. Perhaps it's a traffic issue, and we're going to come back to the Selangor Transport Master Plan after this. Yes. Perhaps we could get some clarification on what's happening there. You're also, of course, the State Assemblyman for Sungai Pinang constituency. I want to ask you let's begin with the question of politics, because politics in some ways is the foundation for business and economics and business life. And I think with the arrest and charging of Lim Guan Eng, he of course is the Chief Minister of Penang, it's brought into sharp focus the question of the integrity of governance and investor confidence. I just want to know, you of course are from the same party, he is your Secretary General. Could you explain to us what the feeling now is about the question of Lim Guan Eng being charged? Does it put in jeopardy the plans of not just the Pakatan state of Penang, but also the Pakatan state of Selangor?
Yeah, thank you. I think as far as the administration of state is concerned, either in Penang or in Selangor, I think we have a plan to implement. It would not affect the implementations of the policies and other programs. But I think the issues that arise is the way the justice has been administered in this country, whereby people are asking that there are many other cases similar and more serious and very much serious than this case has not been taken actions. I think this is a question arise where people, I think you can feel the anger of people. And I think there's general feelings with people.
Right. So you're saying that that investors or businesses need not be too concerned about this issue. But I want to come back to the statement that Azmin Ali, Menteri Besar of Selangor, made in relation to the arrest and charging of Mr. Lim Guan Eng. He says that, in fact, it's the prosecution of the federal opposition, or rather the persecution of the federal opposition. That's his narrative. Do you expect that to happen in Selangor as well, that Selangor might as well face this kind of action soon? And will that shake investor confidence or confidence of businessmen in the state of Selangor, the government of Selangor?
Yeah, I don't think we have a similar case that happened in Selangor for this moment. And of course, there's some allegations around, and that is quite common in this country. And in the states that administered by the oppositions, there has been a lot of accusations of this sort. But so far, I think Selangor is still all right. But I think if we do not bring confidence to the investors about the system of justice, the system of administration of justice in this country, it may affect not the state that's controlled by the opposition, but as nations, it will affect us. So those who are in charge of the administration of justice, they have to be very professional in this. And we hope that something can be done to address these issues.
Now, just coming back again to the government of Selangor, it's now kind of Pakatan Harapan, because it started off as a Pakatan Rakyat government. It's now a Pakatan Harapan government plus a PAS, which is no longer part of the Pakatan Harapan coalition, but remains in government, even though at the federal level, they're making overtures to UMNO in terms of commonalities over the Islamic agenda. Now, do you think that there are questions, legitimate questions arising about the stability of this government, of your government? Is it possible that PAS, as it pushes forward with its agenda with UMNO, might break away from this current government, withdraw support, and because they have a large number of members in the assembly, will that destabilize the Selangor government?
I think all parties in the Pakatan Rakyat and in the oppositions are quite pragmatic in these issues. And we are actually facing a new situation that had never happened in this country, but which is very common in the Europe. In the Europe, even in the United Kingdom, in the last term where the Conservatives was in the coalitions, they may not be in the same party, they may not even have the same manifesto, but they still they can rule for a term. In Selangor, we have actually a common manifesto before the elections in 2013. So I don't think there is any problem at this juncture as far as all parties subscribe to the principles as manifested in our manifesto.
And so, you expect PAS to respect that manifesto even as it makes these overtures towards UMNO?
Oh, for this moment, as far as the manifesto in Selangor is concerned, they still subscribe to it. So I don't foresee any problem until the end of this this term.
Okay, moving on to the question of state-federal relations, because very important in terms of development agendas. We've had a government at the federal level that's not had generally, except for perhaps the state of Kelantan for a time, and then Sabah for a time. They generally, development plans can be coherent because federal and state governments are essentially from the same governments. But we have in Penang and in particular Selangor this difference. You've been on record saying that you have no problems cooperating with federal governments. You've not had any challenges on that level. Could you elaborate? I mean, aren't they competitors? Wouldn't the federal government run by Barisan Nasional not want to see Selangor succeed? Because the success of Selangor will in fact lead to the strengthening of Pakatan in the state.
Well, this is a very special station for Selangor because we contribute as much as 22.4% of the national GDP. So if the federal try to do something to make life difficult for Selangor, then it will affect the federal. So I don't think they will be so...
short-sighted.
Yes, short-sighted and, you know, trying to be difficult with Selangor. But, of course, we do have some people in the system that think that, you know, they can make life difficult for Selangor. For example, we have actually corporations, very good cooperation from one ministries when we try to get investment from overseas. But we do have some ministry are not so cooperative. But I think that is because of the individual concern, not the policies of the federal government.
So you're talking about the leadership of those ministries. Would you care to name those ministries that have been cooperating with you and those that haven't been cooperating with the Selangor government?
Oh, I will think that the MITI is very cooperative and all the officers overseas in Maida, in Madrid, they are very cooperative with us because we are, our objective is are the same, to lure more investment into Selangor and Malaysia. But we do have some ministry feel that, you know, they do not want to be seen to be close to us, fearing that there may be some negative impact on their probably the office concerns or their own futures. So these are the things that happens. But as a whole, I think the federals understand the real situations that you can't kill a goose that lay the golden eggs. So this is the situation.
Well, what about the civil service? Is the Selangor civil service behind the Selangor government at this point in time? They, of course, were under Barisan Nasional government for decades. Do they run themselves in a professional manner that help implement the kind of development plans that the state has?
Yeah. When we enter into the second term, I think things has gone quite smoothly for the moment. I think they are now understand, and in fact, they gain experience into how to be a professional civil servant. So I think we get full support from our civil service in Selangor. And if you look at the way we have negotiated for the water supply, the water companies, I think they have been doing their best for the interests of the state. So I would say that, you know, we have full confidence in our civil service for the moment.
Well, YB, very quick question before we take a break. The question of, there's another kind of a paradox for the Selangor State Government. A large part of the valley, or the very important part of the Klang Valley, of course, is Kuala Lumpur. Kuala Lumpur is not under the Selangor State Government. Does that pose real problems in terms of conceptualizing everything from, you know, you have a range of plans, including this idea of a kind of Asian business center that, you know, Selangor could become an Asian business center.
Yes.
Is that a problem for you?
It's not a problem. It's a question of the problem with us is the branding. All the wise that people know about Kuala Lumpur. When I go overseas, the first questions, the first problems that I face is that not many people know Selangor. Those who have come to Malaysia, those who have been to Kuala Lumpur for many times, and even those who have been staying in Kuala Lumpur for many years, they don't know where Selangor is. They know Penang. They heard about Malacca. They don't know where Selangor is. So this is a challenge to us. So we have to rebrand ourselves and tell people that where Selangor is. For example, I always say that, look, when you land at the Kuala Lumpur International Airport, you are actually landing on the Selangor territory. So this is how I start to explain how, you know, Selangor is important in terms of the contributions of GDP, in terms of size, and in terms of our infrastructures. We have we have all the international airports in Selangor. We have the second largest container port in South Asia, all in Selangor. So we need to rebrand it. And I don't see there is any conflict, but we need to let the world know that Selangor is the most important state in Malaysia. And Kuala Lumpur was part of it, but now it's given to the federal to become the federal capital. But we still work closely because it is just within us. So this is how we see ourselves. We need to progress and we cannot stay at the old level, you know, and let Kuala Lumpur lead everything.
Coming back to the question of the impact of government initiatives on investments and efficiency of industry, I want to talk about this because we often get a lot of statements coming up from government, whether at federal level or state level, and they're kind of aspirational in nature. And I think people are, you know, increasingly sophisticated and want to know, are they getting bang for their buck? So I'm going to point to a very interesting statistic. The state government visited 19 cities in 2015, to kind of, I guess, promote the brand Selangor and to communicate the investment opportunities here. And in this year, you expect to go to 20 cities. The question is, how much do these visits cost? And what are the returns on this on the money that's being spent on these visits? Do you have a number? Could you tell us how much it costs in 2015 to send civil servants and politicians to these various places on the planet?
Well, I think for this year, I just want to give the correct figures. In fact, until now, I visited 25 cities in 9 countries. So it has exceeded our KPI of 20 cities for this year.
But your KPI of visiting cities might be different from somebody who's a taxpayer who says, okay, how much did it actually cost you to visit all these cities? Mm. And what is the real returns on this investment? Because do we have numbers? Is it costing the Selangor State Government millions? Mm. Because, you know, remember, in deep in the minds of many Selangorans is this whole Lawatan Sambil Belajar, furore that came up during the time of Hirtoyo. You know, and people are suspicious, don't you think? Rightly
yes,
so.
Yes, exactly. Well, in fact, for my portfolios, I have only 400,000 ringgit to spend last year. So, but I have visited 19 cities, which means we have actually have been very thrifty in this manner. And when we visit, the reason why we have to visit a few cities in one go is because it will save costs. Instead of visiting one country or one city, we make it in one trip. Within a week, we try to visit as many cities as possible. And that's why we meet people from the breakfast meeting, lunch meeting, and to the dinner meeting. So this is how we have. So average, I will have at least 3 meetings per day for the 3 meals, plus the in between the meetings. So these are how we work. You know, we try to make full use of every moment that we have overseas and try to make full use of every cent we spend overseas.
YB, how do you measure impact? I know you're meeting people,
right,
but
right.
how do you measure impact?
Okay, for example, last year we managed, despite of the adverse situation, we managed to maintain the FDI and DDI as much as 7.95 billion. And this is not easy. And from the fifth place, we climb up to the third place for last year. And this year...
And that would be of states in the Federation, would it?
Third place. For Selangor, right. Yes. So this year, we managed to convince Toyota to expand their plant here. And they have announced that they will spend 2 billion ringgit for expansions. And we are now waiting for another good news also in the automobile to have their expansion plan in Malaysia implemented as soon as possible. And these are the real result that come in. But there are a lot of things that we do is more on the promotions. As I said, people know nothing about Selangor. They know about Malaysia. They know about Kuala Lumpur, Penang, and Malacca. So we need to do this just as tourism.
But do we need it? I think the question is that recently Miti came out with a statement that they were trying to streamline many of these investment agencies. We've proliferated them. Malaysia is a middling economy. Do we need more than brand Malaysia? Do we actually need a brand Selangor? I mean, who benefits from this? Couldn't Miti have done that? I mean, the numbers you gave me just now, how do we disaggregate them? What was Miti's contribution to that? And what was, Invest Selangor's contribution to that?
Okay, let me tell you, until today, for this year, 2016, Miti has not organized any trade mission overseas. None. And we have been visiting 25 cities. And you make the comparison, how much effort we have put in. And this is, we are trying very hard to do it. For example, we go now, my last trip, latest, to Taiwan. We managed to meet almost 1,000 entrepreneurs. Imagine the numbers of people that we meet. In our first event in Taipei, we managed to have a forum for which the paid participants are as many as 700 people. These are paid participants. They are prepared to pay to come and listen to us. What do we have to offer? And we are very fortunate that response was very positive. And now, one of the cities that we did not visit, they try to catch up and they want to visit us in August. And this is the importance of it. If you don't do it, you don't see the importance of it.
What have you gotten coming back? Are we looking at MOUs signed? Are we looking at the establishment of businesses?
Yeah, we are not interested really in MOU. In fact, I have declined to sign a lot of MOUs. MOUs just to show people that I've achieve something which is nothing unless they come here, unless they invest here, unless they collaborate with us. So, as I said, my latest trip to Taiwan, within 7 days, we managed to visit 5 cities. Imagine 5 cities within a week. And we met with some important officials and also we meet with the business communities and a lot of discussion we made. And for the first time, they heard about Selangor. For the first time, they know that the Selangor is so important to them, for them to expand to the South Asian market. And before I went to Taiwan, I was in China for a week, also visiting 5 cities. And China is so big, I need to travel from the east to west, to visit 5 cities, the business community. And they are now coming. They are coming back. And they realize that to go to South Asia, the best place to go is Malaysia. And in Malaysia, the best place is Selangor, because this is a place they provide the best infrastructure for them, the best place they can get the talent, can get the human capital to assist them to expand the business to South Asia, to Asia later, and of course to the world.
Now, we know, of course, that in Selangor, this is just some statistics, about 60% of industry, actually service industry, and about 40% in manufacturing is in the state. We also have reports of rather ambitious plans that the Selangor state government has in terms of development of pushing the economy here. We have, and as a result, we have the establishment of councils. We have the Bio Council and the Aerospace Council. Do these councils just increase the level of bureaucracy, or are they facilitating? How do you measure that?
Oh, okay. For the service industry, it contributes 59.5% to the GDP, slang of GDP. And from the manufacturing is actually 29.5%.
Is that, are you happy with these ratios? I mean, do you want them shifted around?
This is, I think, very important for advanced economy. No other states in Malaysia have managed to do this, where the almost 60% of the GDP come from the service industry. That means we are in a very advanced stage. And meanwhile, we need to maintain and our manufacturing strength. And therefore, we spend a lot of effort into getting the manufacturers to come to Malaysia. So, okay, we have set up a few council by now. Bio Council and Aerospace Council, that is important. Actually, there is no increase of departments or units, but it is a synergy of the governments and the private sectors and from the academia. So we are putting the expert to come to the meeting together. People need to talk together, so that we know the need of each other.
How do you measure the impact of your council?
It's good. In fact, before we set up this two council, we have sought the opinion from the players and from the universities and what should we do to build up our biotech platform. And therefore, we come up with this idea that we bring the people in this sector together. They come from, actually, they are in this, they know about this sector, but the people, the players in this sector are not meeting, not talking to each other. So we are bringing the civil servants, we are bringing in the players, we are bringing the academicians to come to talk. Okay, how do you develop that? We bring the expert to work together.
Okay.
So this is very important. It's a synergy.
Okay, maybe the impact can't be measured directly. But now we have a question from Twitter. One of our listeners has written in saying, why is Selangor de-gazetting forest reserves for controversial highways like Kidax, Dash, and Elf, and such? And I want to come to, we're running out of time, the Transport Master Plan. Kidax, of course, has been the lightning rod for a lot of public anger. And now we have news that perhaps it's being revived. I mean, what is the status of this Kidex-like, transport initiative?
Kidex is a past tense.
But what about the PJD link? I mean, this is it's been reported that Kidex had an extension until the end of the company, at least, that involved in Kidex has a concession has been extended to 2016 November, and that there seems to be a link between this new project, the PJD link, that somehow mirrors a Kidex.
No, there's no such thing as far as the state government is concerned. The Kidex company, they may have an extension with the federal government, but as far as state is concerned, the applications has been rejected, and that is the end for the moment. There is no fresh applications from Kidex or any company related to Kidex.
Yeah, the company that's related to Kidex is, and I'm going to try and find it here in my notes, I've lost it. But anyway, could you tell us more about the transport master plan then?
Yeah, our Selangor transport master plan is about the transport system, especially the public transport system of the whole Selangor. So this will be our proposal to the federal government, because we are not in the positions to actually spend the money to build up this system. But we need to let the state government, the federal government knows what are the future development for Selangor and therefore where to put all these infrastructures.
So the Selangor state government is not in the driving seat as far as the transport master plan is concerned. Is merely information sharing with the federal government?
Not only information sharing, but more of a try to build up a synergies between the state and federal, so that before a plan is made, before implementation is done, we make sure that there will be collaborations between the state and the federal, so that the federal understand what is actually needed by the state, and the state will be able to let the federal know that what need to be done to address real issues.
And are they responsive to the kind of proposal that you put forward?
I would say that so far the agency has been working quite well with our consultants and our officers. And in fact, the master plan has just been completed by the consultant and has yet to be presented to the state government for endorsement.
Well, thank you very much. We've run out of time.
Thank you.
On the Breakfast Grill with us this morning was Dato' Teng Chang Kim, a senior member of the Selangor State Government and chairman for the Standing Committees for Investment, Industry and Commerce, SMEs and Transportation. I'm Sharad Kutin. This has been BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.